Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father.
And from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday and Father's Day. So we want to focus this week on the love of God the Father. Every person needs to know two things about fathers. First of all, being a father is important. Fathers make a huge difference in the lives of their children. According to God's word and according to statistics, children are incredibly blessed when they have an active and involved father in their life. Here's what the statistics tell us. Children with active and involved fathers are happier, healthier, do better in school, less likely to have behavior problems, less likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. They're 2 times less likely to drop out of school, 4 times less likely to be in poverty, 7 times less likely to become pregnant as a teen, less likely to commit crime, less likely to go to prison. Fathers make a huge difference. If you are a father here with us today, we just want to say thank you and honor you. You're a blessing to our church and to our society. Second thing everyone needs to know about being a father is that fatherhood is hard. No father is perfect. We're all sinners. That includes dads and fathers. We all fall short. We all sin. We all do the wrong thing sometimes. All dads feel bad whenever we hear Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. When you coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. We all want to be perfect fathers, but we're not. Christian fathers are not perfect, but we are forgiven, and we do have help. Because all of us have a perfect father who is there for us and for our families as well. Psalm 103 describes God the Father, the perfect Father who created us, loved us, and saved us. I think of Psalm 103 as the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament, in which God is described as our wonderful, loving Father who gives us every good thing. Let me share with you 4 qualities of God our Father based on Psalm 103. Number one, God the Father blesses us. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God the Father blesses us, which means that he gives us lots of good things, lots of blessings in our lives. In Psalm 103, David makes a list of a whole bunch of different things God gives to us, both physical blessings, such as healing, and spiritual blessings, such as eternal life. Fathers love to bless their children. Every dad I know wants to be a blessing to their children. And the opposite of, you know, nobody wants to be the opposite of a blessing, which would be a curse, right? Fathers delight in blessing their children with good things. And that's what our God, our Father, does too. He delights in blessing us with good things. Psalm 103 says, God satisfies us with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. He's not talking there about the Philadelphia Eagles. No, he's talking about the actual bird. There are very few things more majestic to see than an eagle in flight. Eagles don't just fly, they soar. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to fly like an eagle. He wants you to soar on the wings of eagles. That's what Isaiah 40 says. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not be faint. God doesn't want us to waddle our way through life or stumble our way through life. God wants us to soar, to reach our full potential, to become the best version of ourselves. And to enjoy the good things God gives to us. James puts it this way in the New Testament. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. James 1:17. Everything good comes from God in your life. That's true of the spiritual blessings, to be sure, but that's also true for the physical blessings. And Luther makes a long list in his explanation of the first article. Food and drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, fields, cattle, and all my goods, my life, and all that is in them. God wants us to enjoy all his blessings. The best way to enjoy them is not to take them for granted and to be thankful for them. You are not lucky. You are blessed. Blessed by a father who loves you and loves to give you good things. Number two, God our Father is patient with us. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. There's a lot of the Father's goodness to talk about in that one verse, but we have a limited amount of time, so let's just talk about slow to anger.
As a father myself, I have a lot to learn about that one, and I know God is helping me with that part of my life. Anger, remember, is an emotion. It's not a sin. It's a necessary emotion in this sinful, fallen world, but God does not want us to be dominated by us. He doesn't want us to be angry all the time because anger is powerful and it is dangerous. So God is slow to anger and he wants us to be the same way. James says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. God wants us to be patient with others because that's the way God is with us. Even though we sin every day, God is patient with us, slow to anger. He never gives up on us. Psalm 103, verse 10 says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He's always willing to give us another chance. He is patient with us sinners. And he is patient with the whole world. The Father, in his goodness and love, patiently waits for the world to come to its senses and to come back to him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God, our loving Father, is far more patient than you and I are. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't God just bring his judgment? Why doesn't God punish the world or send down fire from heaven? Why doesn't God bring judgment on all the sin and sinners of the world? But we need to remember, as Peter reminds us, God is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. God loves everyone. God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thanks be to our Father in heaven. He's patient with the world and he is patient with us. Number three, God, our Father, forgives us. As the perfect Father, Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. At the heart of Psalm 103 is forgiveness. It's also at the heart of the Lord's Prayer, at the heart of Jesus' preaching, and it's at the heart of Christianity itself. It's all about forgiveness. God went to extraordinary, impossible lengths so that we might be forgiven. I love how Psalm 103 puts it. Our Father in heaven doesn't just forgive our sins, he literally removes them from us. Through the sacrificial death of Christ, God took all of our sins away, every single one of them. God removes from us the poison of sin, he separates us from it, and throws that sin away, far away, far, far, far away. As far as the east is from the west. You want to know how far the east is from the west? Just ask Al Nordstrom. He's ridden a bike from the east coast to the west coast. Of course, the difference is ultimately infinite, which is how far God has removed our sins from us. Forgiveness is at the heart of Christianity because it is at the heart of our Father in heaven. He loves to forgive our sins. In 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive 77.45% of them. No, just kidding. He promises to forgive 100%. He promises to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And since the Father is all about forgiveness, he wants us to follow in his footsteps, to be like him, to be full of grace and forgiveness with others. Colossians 3:13, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness is the great privilege and the great power of the Christian. God works through his people to give forgiveness of sins, and that restores relationships, fixes broken marriages, and sets people free. God works through his people to give forgiveness of sins, and that heals marriages, restores relationships, fixes broken friendships, and sets people free. Forgiveness, remember, is never earned. It's a gift. Nobody deserves to be forgiven, but through Christ, everyone can be forgiven. You and I have the privilege and the power to share the forgiveness of Christ with anyone who may need it. And guess what? Everyone needs it. Even those who don't pretend they don't, they need it too. The Holy Spirit wants to help us love people the way our Father loves people and to forgive people the same way our Father in heaven forgives us. Finally, number four, our Father in heaven is full of compassion. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So why does our Father in heaven do all this for us? Why does he bless us, be patient with us, and forgive us? Because we're such good kids who really deserve it? Hardly. No, instead, Psalm 103:13 tells us why. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Everything the Lord does, he does out of his great compassion for his children. Luther puts it this way: all this he does purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. Now, the Hebrew word for compassion is rachem, compassion. He overflows with compassion for us. The Greek word for compassion, well, you know it, right? Splenizomai. And it's the primary motivation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His heart is always full of gut-wrenching compassion for people. And what we see is like father, like son. Splenizomai is used 12 times, or rather like son, like father. Splenizomai is used 12 times in the Gospels, always in connection with Jesus, except for one time, when Jesus uses it to describe the heart of his Father, our Father in heaven, and that's Luke 15, verse 20. The return of the prodigal son. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, splenizomai, for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. This is the prodigal son, the parable that Jesus used to teach us about the heart of our Father in heaven. How does Jesus describe the heart of his Father, our Father in heaven? His heart is not full of anger. His heart is not full of disappointment. His heart is not full of "I told you so's." No, our Father's heart is full of compassion, overwhelming compassion, gut-wrenching compassion, compassion for you, compassion for me, and compassion for everyone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.